All the labor of man is for his mouth. And yet the appetite is not full. Work itself is not a problem, but the trap lies in the interest you have in it. The same people who are risking all for this pursuit, what interest have they placed on their souls? Look at how some travel overseas for what they call greener pastures, and all purpose is that they can make life good. To such I do not dissuade, but I'll ask them, have they the interest of their soul above that pursuit? How many migrant ships have not sunk and many lives lost in recent times? All in the name of pursuing a better life abroad. Do they value the worth of their soul's need? Or as some think, even if I die pursuing that dream, it's better than to stay and die of destitution. Which destitution is that? I'm saying, Some have also sacrificed many things in pursuit of worldly knowledge. Hopping from one field of study after another, acquiring for oneself myriads of accolades. It is not wrong to pursue knowledge, for we all pursue one thing or the other. But ask you, what pursuit is this? Are things concerning you so higher, of higher interest than this? When this life passes over and your age is expired, and death consumes you away, what are the certificates for? It becomes useless to you as well as those you have left behind. For no one can use them, so it perishes with one life. It perishes when one life expires in the dust. Such is a temporal blessing of this life. All temporal blessings of this life perish with the one who has it. Yes, I have so much money. I have buildings. I'm the wisest person in the world. When I die, yes, you might have written some books and all that people will use it. But even when they use it, it's for this temporary life. All the big, philosophers and all that, their books, it's for what? It doesn't give you any way to real life or to real happiness to the soul. So all these things in this life that we pursue after is for this temporary life, and it's vain. Friends, acquisition of worldly knowledge is only good for this temporal life. Such was the pursuit of Greek philosophers. And even at the time of Apostle Paul, it renders many of them careless concerning the gospel, the pursuit of knowledge. In Acts 17:21, we hear when they encountered Paul, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear something new. Learning, to tell or hear something new. And that was their aim. Athens was the home of famous philosophers like Diogenes of Sinope, Democritus, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. Most of us have read some of these people and their writings. And such, at the time of Paul, still it was a center of, much learning, and people are much, zealous about knowledge. But what was their response? For after Paul had preached the gospel to them, this was their response in Acts 17:32. And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, they some mocked. And Paul didn't just preach them just resurrection. He told them the vanity of their idolatry, and how God is not worshipped in temples, and the vanity of their idols. And then he brought in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God has raised him from the dead, and they should trust in him. It became a mockery He became a laughing stock to them. But they are knowledgeable. They are wise. They have philosophies. They are following great philosophers of the world. But the gospel meant nothing to them. Such is how it is when we pursue worldly knowledge. In whichever field that we pursue it, without the knowledge of God, without knowing what is right for the soul, what as for the scripture teaches us. The fancy of the idolatry that the gospel reproves, they fancy the idolatry, and they also cast snare on the true God, saying in Acts chapter 7 verse 18, what will this babbler say? They are talking of Paul. Other some, he said, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. When they heard of Jesus, they were laughing. It's a strange God, that's to them. But they have so much knowledge. They have so much wisdom in worldly things. But before them, the knowledge of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus and of the true God was foolishness unto them, was nothing unto them. A friend once told me in their first year at college, one of their lecturers was advising them about life. And when it came to religion, she said, as for church and related religious activities, you can nip them in the bud, that you can put them somewhere. And after graduation, you have the opportunity to serve God. Such was advice to young first year students who have come to college or university. And what do you mean? How many of them can even complete the institution you are telling them of? And indeed, if they should go through the education system without God, by the time they finish, they'll care less about God. And also, when they'll pursue you after a career, and that will push God out of their way. And when they pursue their career, they will look for profit and gain. And they want to gain the whole world before they will think of God. And they'll put God aside. And when everything is finished and they have retired and they are in their house, their mind is filled with worldly things, the pressures of life, God is nothing to them. God will come nothing to them. So in meaning, she's telling them, put God aside and your soul to damnation. And anyone who put God aside, snobs on God, snobs his own soul. That's how it is. Because God, through Christ, is the real life and the real knowledge. There's no knowledge above the gospel. The gospel is the pure knowledge. It's the knowledge of that gives light to who God is. That gives life to life, to everything. Let's look at another thing that some people also pursue. Some also pursue after. Sorry, let me. This part, give the three parts of what I've already said. Else, I will lose it. Okay. The other kind of say, if you also Abraham, no, Omu di esu adi echi, and Omu let try say oh, Omu esu anyama bebre, Omu fisi anu na vemo Abraham ebeyi. Na Omu di sa anyama echi oni ni adi. Ibi sa say eh fana Omu eni su adi ewo, eh fana Omu ekra. Na sa Abraham ya ye boi se pium na say yemra emfia iradi diama ye epium kuwa na say ugu be fire kuwa. Abu di anya. Anytime you mean ya, if I need it, a bayer who would dear, a mamma, a jaw movie tree, and I can't answer your question, Nimuno, and yet you mind. If he says, I'm your maniano, a say, and my as your brother say, young one, I say, na, son, if you are saying your mind in your auntie, because if you say, your brother won't answer, and I am one ankasano, and you hold that will be too mock. Near Cassay, if you are saying, in answer, when you be brave. If you say, in your answer, no more, you should. In your case, go home, one or the same is so on your local school, and I say, only the obvious idea. Now, we are the same one now, or the one by my uncle, or my amusement, and I say, Bisa. In your case, school, no one has one castle, we are waiting maybe. And I say, who will cry now? Who will be seized over paper? You mind when you first walk? Last when you first walk, so I be also main trust and I mean Jimmy. Which when you are, you can say, why penny now by Tenefee? Now by Tenefee, we are free. Why penny ya? If you are saying a map, I feel when you are a digest, so by showing young people creature, a shop when I mean, I said, Ben was your Sunday amount. See, I say, a young sweet idea, a money perpetual, a moment, a movie, a random. some also pursue after worldly happiness to the detriment of their soul's need. Ebi musu di ewiase enije ho. Ah, ema omohwe omokra. For those who pursue worldly happiness, everything is here and now. They have false and vain joy in their pursuit, and it blinds them from all spiritual good. You see, omo di ewiase enije so no. Ema omodwe sisi ya ene de betumi nya sisi ya. The moment you fra a war, and your ma, and you hear more cry, I was soon to my upon the yammer. Often the world makes us think that this life people pursue the real happiness, where one has no restrictions to his choice and desires. The real thing who say, oh, sir, bravo, yeah, I saw you shake a nija, I don't know who here, so that I don't just be a school point, they will need you home, also DHR, now my cry, and just all my real home. I don't know if we are saying use energy ADHD. In pursuit of this, they say if it feels good the body, chase after it, let nothing restrict you. So it's the full day, nothing restrict, and God is out of the way. So many people pursue this life and God because they know that religion will restrict them. God will restrict them. No, God is out of the way. Why are we having so much of this gay and lesbians and whatever? I mean, all over now, it's in the church, and some pastors are even gay and lesbians and all that. Why has this come in? Because the love of happiness and the love of things that opposes God. How can you hold the Bible and be a gay or a lesbian? It's not possible. And champion this in public, you'll not be ashamed of it. And pushing it to the truth of people, and by for people, should just take it as it is. Because you want to have your happiness and enjoy your life. And it's very common in our country. Nowadays, most of the young, guys are also after money and after happiness. So that's all they partying and other things. Enjoy life, as they say. I have my car every weekend. I booze around and I move to wherever I want. Sometimes they meet and go to the mountains and they will go and eat and so kind of foolishness. And they say that is happiness. And they will discuss it at the workplace as if that's how life really is. And as if that is all that life entails. And it's so trivial. And whoever chases after these things loses his soul because it will never make you think about your soul. As I said, some count this as freedom, but it's rather starving of oneself to damnation. When you do this, you starve your soul to damnation. It is a snob on God and the real happiness which is in the newness of Christ, newness of life in Christ. When you do this, you will never have time to think about Christ or God because it's opposite the light and darkness. Whenever you think of God, you become guilty. So they push the thought of God aside. Christ, they put it aside. If they think about it at all, maybe they want some prophet to maybe bless them, so they will go or have some difficulty or other. After they take the blessing from so-called prophet, that is it. But for them to commit themselves to God and to Christ and his offer of the gospel, it's nothing to them. It is the suppressing of conscience against the guilt, terrors, and judgment of sin. That is what it is. That's what they are afraid of. They are afraid of guilt and to the terror of judgment of sin. So they say, I don't believe in God. They know that when they say there's God, then they have to submit to Him. And when they submit to Him, they have to obey Him. So to say that there's no God, so it's their fear. They are rather fearful, but they mock at those who worship God that they are fearful. It's a fear. They are fearful in the sense that they hate to know that their sin is going to be punished and that is God hates sin. So there is a fear. Living this kind of happiness is a life of fear. Because anytime God strikes anything to your life, it becomes so miserable. This will seem to give you some freedom, but the pleasures of worldly happiness are for a season. It is of such false freedom Moses fled from in Egypt, but sadly to say, this is what many run after today. Remember Moses in Egypt, he was a prince, and some say that he could have become Pharaoh in the near future, whatever. And everything was at his disposal, the joy of Egypt, the treasures and everything. But Moses realized that if he should follow after such things, he would deny his God, and that God would turn down on him. So he left Egypt, because Egypt is what? It's a nation which the joys that he will enjoy there, it will be for some period. He himself will die one day and live that happiness. So he went away so he can come back and work for God, and then he will obtain that true happiness which is in God. Where do you find happiness? That's a question I want to ask each and every one of us. Is it in worldly songs? television programs, movies, soap operas, concerts, sporting. And I say sporting because nowadays the young guys of our time like betting and sporting a lot. And now it's very common you can win bets on your phone. And it, I mean, it doesn't seem to be anything bad. You see, partying, drinking, profanity, promiscuity, immodest dressing lifestyles. That's what people are. Nowadays, everything, hey, today is the new dress. And you ask yourself, in those kind of dresses and so many things people talk about, what is it? They are even immodest. And people are moving from one fashion to the other. That's what they're consuming people. Their time is they work, they earn money, and they put into those things. You see young guys and they have alcohol in their cupboards. And so when maybe we are going to a funeral at the workplace and all that. They have money, they buy expensive alcohols, and they will open their book, people will say, they admire. And that's a form of life, people say it's happiness. They party, and that is all. And that is, the joy people think that is life. And they become so proud in it. These things seem to bring some satisfaction to the partaker, but these things never satisfy. It never satisfy. And who can deny that all this I've mentioned doesn't have sense in them? Nobody can deny these things. If anyone's enjoyment and reflection of happiness are derived from carnal pleasures and material comfort, then that person is lost to the most needful thing in life. Here can you say, Ebi Monsu Edi Ebiase Nijiechi. Now, Ebi Monsu Fuse Udi Biase Nijiechi, Mwa Munya Ahonto, Ahonto Fi Diyamu. Ahonto Tese, Ubi Ensi Omu Fai. I can't say maybe I found say Moses crown who say Egypt and it's your honor and yeah who he and I yeah who did you know if you say we should put me up with young and me in the jar above one. There can say be more a deep yes in the jet San Omuma or Mutibuana that might be our most old way of one name and I will point to go back to some children honor and my own be a more cry. No woman or you know, I'll be finished three more. Then the on one say on am I say obia and sin quine. Nam can say embrand be prayer by and they do dona I green on Ebimo and Saria near Nij and a sika almost gonna my or my was annual and one I be brino abuta I would just you to say officer or would you tree. And I make us say I found out who we need you. If we are seeing you more and I say TV so and you more and I say for new we and I say concert and I say some of you now be share, and I say be our bedroom, and I saw Benom, San Obe, Santa, dear, whom here, and I say, Abrabo, 10 times, and Berman in Bath, and Luna, if you are officially with the Jumana. They can send you my way, Yano, and far, and Shinipama, and Manipa, and ya, the Osunia, our Brabo. They say, well, no more way, say, Muniano, Bonnie, Winnie Yano. And you can say, sir. We need je ewo esa nyoma we su dia na nyoma ewo homa kuna munku adia na mum na ne na sa dia ehia power brabo mu ni enyechi na mum ugbahwe. Let's now look at Jesus' admonition against worldly pursuit. That's the second part of what we are looking at. Jesus' admonition against worldly pursuit. The Yesu akatia sa riasi nyoma ya nipadie ni susu yo. That in verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Martha, we can say, was doing a good thing at the wrong time. For serving and entertainment of guests are highly recommended virtue of life, especially for believers. You know, Abraham, when the angels came to visit him, you see how he rushed to bring the lamb to be slaughtered, and he stood by there, he served them. Serving and then with strangers is recommended, even in the Bible, as Christians. But he was doing it at the wrong time. Martha could not for a moment think of the great spiritual nourishment of the sermon the Lord was delivering to those who were present at his feet. Against the material provision she was engaged, though necessary, but not for the present time. The case of Martha, Emra used to go on channel. And who he has of a show of normal maybe an Indian yard, and then one, they used to come same be a Las Osaka or train of Mons BTV, and no, and not a yelling from so yeah. The Lord then cautions her against the worries and troubles of this pursuit. In Martha's case, she was already saved, but her current pursuit had denied her of the blessings of the Lord's fellowship. Yes, Martha needed it. Martha, there will be our years with you. No moon, your year, no, and my years to get them with your number, and when your movers will be. How often many people lose the blessing of worship, Christians, fellowship, and communion with the Lord in church while the mind is engaged with worldly thoughts in times of worship? Most of us, we lose many blessings of that. We often lose the truth of the many sermons we hear because we listen to them with a wandering mind pursuing after worldly businesses in our mind. And this is a warning to believers, but especially to unbelievers. Let me zoom in down to unbelievers who need nothing but to believe in the gospel offer of salvation, but is always busy with worldly pursuits, love of possessions, profit, enjoyment, popularity, which deny them of any thoughts on his lost soul, his sinfulness, the judgment to come, with no interest for the only remedy which is in Christ. Many people who are also unsaved, when they pursue after these things, it denied them of these thoughts. You see, Omoa, a Christopher, dear, San Yomon, somebody only did a tra, and Mura, or say, Bioma, so they might be almost something I may not do a man, no mutumina, you are looking at poor more Christopher Bomo. Almost if you say, Mura Mutia, so they might be in a baby. Now, be more being now, any journey, and you're my humans. You see, Omoa, young, Council, dear, Omo, the almost shrey, Omo crank, as if you say. Somewhere far from home, at Timbuktu, any young man must show more courage. Here, more courage. No Christian man, I'm not doing embers. If you say, "My life has answered no," I'm not doing your baby. The Lord's warning means this: any pursuit of life which one makes higher than the interest in his eternal destiny is wearisome and troublous. Look at what he said. And Jesus answered and said unto Martha, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Things of this world are troublesome, whether we have much or less." It's troublesome. So Jesus told her that you are troubling about yourself about these things which doesn't make anything for the soul. It's troublous, and we should be careful how we put ourselves into these things and not to seek after Christ. For Christ and his life which give the soul eternal salvation, that is what you have to seek after. Anyone who have not really committed himself unto Christ and have not seen Christ on the cross, that his death on the cross is the only the most important in life to have, unless until anything follows. Anyone who doesn't have this as his main aim in life has lost it all. Because you'll be going for other things, and later you'll say, okay, when I've gotten them, then I'll come and look after Christ. You lose it. Christ will not wait for you. When you have gotten all these things, by the time you think, then you cannot even think of Christ. Christ will not be there for you. Life itself is so short, you'll be gone. Now let's look at Jesus' recommendation made of the most sinful thing. Jesus said in verse 42, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." In verse 42, Jesus said that there's one thing most needful. After improving matters of anxious concern about Mary not helping her to serve, Jesus rather recommends Mary's attitude. And that one also teaches us a lesson, especially to both the believers and unbelievers. In contrast to the martyr's interest at the moment was the interest of Mary, her sister. And the Lord recommends that Mary has chosen the good part. But look at this. Jesus is there. He's going to enjoy the food. And the brother is with them. And Martha is coming to serve them. So what is her wrong? I mean, if you and I, you think, oh, the food should be served quickly and we eat and we'll be gone. But you see, Jesus, at all times, he thinks of the interest of the soul. Nobody cares about our soul. Even when he's going to be served with food, maybe they might be hungry, but they were passing, I'm sure they were traveling, and this night there wasn't any vehicle to carry them. So they were on foot, maybe walking around, and they would be tired, weary, thirsty, hungry. But look at that. He went there, rather, preaching to them, and also, though food is coming, he never have such interest in the food, but he had interest in the soul of man. But let's look around our world today. What's the purpose of many people going to church? Going to find a miracle, a healing, whatever. My business, my profit, that's what many people think. Our charismatic friends are told that. I'm the head and not the tail, things will be well for me, and I wouldn't have diseases. Is that what the interest of Christ is? No. Christ never... Then yes, he supplied the things for life and for the flesh and for everything. But his interest is for our souls. That is his main purpose of coming to this world. If it was for provision of food and fleshly things, Christ would never have come to this world. Well, God is already provided. Those who never even mention the name of God, never thought of him, they have abundance of everything. I always tell my people that, look at the Arabs. They have oil. Like if you go to Dubai, a friend of mine told me that if you go to Dubai, yes, they have a store, a supermarket. Nobody's there. They stock it with food. If you don't have money, just enter, eat what you want, and you go. Every day you can go and eat. And people even don't go there because there, almost everybody has something. And is that, why do we call such a blessing? And why do we pursue such things that even these people who don't know God, they have been abandoned? And you want to know God, and you want to know God through that. No, we can never know God in such ways. So Christ condemns such attitude. Said the air can say, yes, or can say, the Mary, idea, who hear power, brother. So, where you see, among your meassem. Now, in your mind, fat in the crown, so bet ye. Now, you can say, Martha, there no ye or Sam Renu dear. Now, yes, you also or be more maybe, and you know, I do a bit more with the name, no, yes, no, 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 it is now or come out in him. Yes, if you are not the man on pet, and I say, dear Obeyam, and then you name him, but say, Martha, who said, Namia Samuel, who here has seen BBR. And if you can remember when the devil tempted Jesus, where he told him that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So it is. So Christ is consistent with his word, and so should we be as Christians, or so should we be if we are lost and we never know Christ. It should be our chief aim that Christ wants us not to give us the physical need that we want. He wants us so that our soul will not be damned in hell in eternity. He wants us so we come and believe on him and his love that he offers, his blood that he shed on Calvary, so that our sins will be washed, so that we'll have peace with God, so that our life will have a place in him, so that we can live a meaningful life. We might have nothing, we might have more, but what is necessary is that our life is hid in Christ. That's what the Bible says. Life hid in Christ. Okay. I'm sure Martha knew the duties of entertaining guests, but she would not let that deny her of opportunity, which has blessed their house with the chief of all guests whose teachings are for life and righteousness. If you read that, you might think that Martha is a lazy woman. Mary is a lazy because there's work and she's sitting there listening. No. I'm sure she also serves. She also loves to serve. But she doesn't want to lose the opportunity. How many times that the Lord visit them? She doesn't know. This could be the last time Christ is coming to their home. And when Christ was in this world, how many houses did he visit that are recorded in the Bible? There are few. Look at Zacchaeus has to climb a tree to come and see him. Some woman have to push herself through the crowd to touch his garment. But this we just came to their house. And as the word of life has come to your house, what do you do? So in the gospel, whenever you are in a church and the gospel is presented, it's like Christ has come to your house. This is Christ before you, presented before you. What do you do with it? Do you pray for strength to believe on him? Do you pray for grace or reject and just let it pass by? No. We should seek the interest of Martha. She didn't know when the Lord, as I said, will pass again and order. And for Martha, it is said, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She sat at Jesus' feet, in verse 39, and heard his word. The word of life. Words that are able to give her eternal life. Words that is the most important thing in life. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Do we do that when we come to the presence, when as well the gospel service, and we know our state that really our life before God is not good. Our standing, we don't know about our soul's destiny. Do we come with this that we're coming before at Jesus' feet so that his word will take control of our life, that we can have the faith to believe on him as our Savior, or do we just come because it's church time? No, we should think as what Martha did. Needless to say, it is reasonable that we value things that will last more than the things that are transient. I'm sure. All of us, even with temporal things that we have some things that will last. Whoever has gold and we just trample with it, we keep it in a safe box and make sure that no one comes to steal. That's what we do. But look at this, our soul's eternal destiny and our temporal life. Which one do we have to hold? But most of the time we hold those things which are just transient and doesn't have anything. And because of our sinful nature, because of how sin has done to humankind, this life we currently have is dying every day from the day one we are born. The more we grow, the more we approach our end. That's how life is. I remember when we were a child, you always think that I'll be old because you have the liberty to do whatever you want. But when we come, we realize that we were a kid because there are things that are heavy for your life. But let's reason with you, my friend. How many years has that very person has before death? Is it 50 years, 60, 70, or 100? How many years? Current, how many years? And this is how long this temporal life can endure. Whatever we have in this temporal life, or whatever we pursue, this is how far it can endure for us. 50 years, 60, how many of us live up to 100 years? It's real. And even at 100 years, we can enjoy the things that we have. Sometimes we lose our sense of taste. And the music, you can't even hear anything. Blind, forever. And what are we after? The soul is immortal, and it will live on after life ends. It doesn't end with a grave. See, some people have philosophy that, especially those who pursue after atheists, they think that life ends at the grave, so that, oh, if I ignore God and I die, oh, the termites, that will eat me up and all that. Some scientists also think that we are just the next generation fertilizer, because when we die, we just burn. It's total false. God and His Word only teaches us about life. I always say, no religion in this world teaches us better about afterlife. Our traditional religion, what does it teach us? Oh, we are going to bury someone, and they give you some coins, some clothes, some hanky. Oh, when you are going to the river, I will use to pay. It's totally nonsense. Who gave them that thought? It's out of their own imagination. But the Bible is the Word of God, and it tells us that there's life after the grave. Life doesn't end in the grave. And the things of eternity are the matters of the soul. And it is the only profitable pursuit one must engage in while this temporal life he has. That's only most difficult, the things for the soul. The care for the soul should be of more significance than any other thing. All cares of life should be secondary. No matter what it is. The care of my family, the care of my business, the care of what? My health. It should be secondary. Christ, and knowing Him as my Savior, should be my pursuit. Things of this world must be pursued with loose interest, while the soul's needs must consume our every attention. Why spend time on trifles while there is an immortal interest to secure? Why do we pursue worldly things and consumes us while there's eternal things to pursue in Christ? While there's eternal life to claim in Christ by faith, which He gives us when we come and apply ourselves to Him? All the possessions of the world will not make amends for eternity in torment, which will follow death after your soul is lost. All that we gain, that's the Bible says, if I gain the whole world, I lose my soul. What does it profit? This is the interest everyone must pursue about their soul. The interest in this life that Jesus offers. Jesus doesn't offer us that we should eat and be satisfied, and that's not. He offers us eternal life in Him. In His death upon the cross of Calvary, He offers His life. He said that He died so that we might have life. He died for us. And we can only claim this life when we come to Him in repentance, in faith, in Him, praying and pleading with Him that God will give us this life in Christ. Unless we come to Him in prayer and submit ourselves to Him, we have such life. And in sincerity, confess before Him our sins, knowing whom we have come before. But God is the one who is going to judge us in Christ Jesus. This is the life Jesus offers. It is eternal life in Christ which far surpasses everything. It's the life God has purchased with the blood of His only begotten Son. That's the life. Jesus offered this life when He died on the cross for sin, so He may give it to those who come to Him in repentance and faith in Him. This life is available only if you make it your greatest pursuit and come to God by faith, repenting of your waywardness and sin, and see through Christ that without the life He offers, everything is worthless. Without the life in Christ, my life I have, though God has given me this temporal life, it's worthless because it will perish in the grave. And then, after what? Damnation will come. It's the only life, if a man possesses, no one can strip from him. Do you remember what Christ told Martha? This is what Martha has, and that nobody can take from her. Kings must leave their palaces. Rich men must one day leave their money and lands. They only hold them while there's breath. Kings, emperors, they only hold their empire while they have life. Like Alexander and others, where are they? Their kingdoms, where are they? Or that they pursue their life. I remember that Alexander said one day that he wants more of the world to conquer when he thought he has conquered the whole world. That's pursuit of foolishness. I mean, that thing doesn't give you any life. But he conquered, where is he? His empire. It's just in the books. That's what we read about them. That's what we also, if we pursue all of these things, at best we can be seeing them in the books, but our life is perished with it. But the poorest who have this treasure can never be deprived of. The poorest of men who never had anything, but who have this life treasure in Christ, has everything. And Jesus said to Martha, but one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. That is eternal life in Christ. This is the most needful pursuit of life, and this is the only good pursuit everyone must choose. If anyone of here of us has not chosen this, and if we have chosen this life also, you might pursue the interest of things that concerns it. May your prayers be from this day that the Lord will grant you the grace to know this and pursue till you have found this life in Christ and be assured of eternal life in Him. May the Lord help us and give us grace that all of us will find such a life in Christ and will be satisfied with our life longings. May the Lord help us. Shall we turn to our last hymn? Hymn number 318.